Who's my guy?
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah, show time.
Yes, sir.
There it is. Talking sports with the 12th man. We're officially kicking this off on this March 13th day. Before we get started, we want to give a special shout out. Happy birthday to Mr. Gary Schaefer. He's not joining us on the show, but we're going to honor him and just give him a quick birthday shout out. Didn't realize it was
happy
his
birthday
today,
Gary.
So it's always good, man, to be like, hey, happy birthday. So got it on the calendar for next year, so we won't be blindsided anymore, but again, he's taking the night off, so hopefully we won't talk too bad about him, but we're going to keep it pretty clean. We're going to show him some love. We're going to keep it Gary free because it's his birthday tonight too, man. So we're not going to rag you too much, Gary. No more Cowboys talk. We'll be nice, man, tonight. But anyway, without further ado, we got a lot of topics to dive into. We're going to see if we kind of keep it again pretty short and sweet here, but let's check in with the fellas. Mr. JQ, how you feeling this evening, man?
Nice, man. I'm almost called up on y'all too, man. I'm feeling sleepy. I had to wake back up. I just got back into town. I'm working in Augusta. And of course, you know, I'm a junkie. So I said, it's daylight savings time. I can get done and give me a round of golf here before the sun goes down. So I drive about an hour away from home, play around. I got here and ate and took a shower and said, oh, shit. Woke up and was like 2:30.
Yeah, it's all good. No,
it was
good.
On,
sometimes it's going to be no.
Yes, I did.
We've all had some challenges, and I know Rob's been dozing off and everything like that, but we ain't calling you out, man. It's all good. I've seen it happen.
I have not. I'm the only person that has not missed the show because they went to sleep and missed the show while they were sleeping. At least I knew in advance. I was like, now get your ass up. Get on the show. Let's get it done. So here I am. No,
it's happened to me twice, but it's been years ago. Years ago. That's when I was, you know, going to work at like 4 a.m. in the morning. That was rough.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's all good. Life. How are you feeling, man?
Doing good, man. Get this party started.
Let's have some fun. Hey, without further ado, let's throw the numbers out really quickly for those that always want to check in. The 424-243-9519. Again, I will say that a little slower because I was kind of on fire with that. It's 424-243-9519. Follow us on X, which is at number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/talkingsports12man or 12man sports. Post all of our fun stuff. Rob has posted mock draft. What is it? 11.0 I saw on that.
11.0.
So it feels like, and that was over like a little under 50 minutes, if I'm not mistaken, too. So that's a recent mock draft. So we're going to talk about that. There's some exciting moves. For some reason, Rob does not want to give us Malik Nabers in this draft, but that's okay. We're going to talk about that again. What we're going to talk about in the future because he just does not want to show LSU love in that. Particular mock draft. But we're going to have some.
Yeah, you noticed I had Malik Nabers to the Falcons prior to y'all picking up Darnell Moody. So I kind of had me change the draft a little bit.
It's a hard time, man. You know, it's always fun.
Actually,
it's always
I got Malik
fun.
On a little higher now, too, though.
I was going to say, if you don't draft Malik Nabers, could you sign Moody to be your fourth wide receiver, then you should all be fired. Because that dude might be a number one. That can't be the reason. But you moved him up, so that makes more sense.
Yeah, that's the only way that we'll let that happen. We're excited. We'll talk about that You know, always it's always fun fodder. You know, Rob, you do a good job. We just like to give you a hard time. But so anyway, let's dive into some.
Yeah, I got Malik Nabers.
Talk about.
Since you brought it up, I got Malik Nabers going number 5 overall to the Chargers now. So
what I mean, really fine for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I still think Brock Bowers is the guy. Go ahead.
Say what?
I still think Brock Bowers is up there too, but that, you know, I don't think it's bad either way. You know, I still keep hearing that too.
Yeah.
You know, as far as him, but yeah, go ahead, Rob. Let me cut off, Rob.
There's some scouts are saying Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers are now 1A and 1B. They're that close now.
I agree. Yeah.
But
good stuff.
I got
Brock
Bowers on 15 to the Colts right now.
Like I said, good stuff, Rob. We always have some good fodder, and let's get this party started. We're going to try to go pretty quickly here, as always, to fire through a couple things. So let's get this started. So I guess me and you, Rob, are going to talk about the top 5 outfielders in the Major League Baseball. JQ, you can feel free to add this too, man, because, again, some of this is interesting. You know, obviously, I'm just going to fire out the 5, and then we'll keep it going too. So, you know, my 5 is obviously –
Can you put the topic
in the
chat? Can you put the topic in the chat real quick?
Are they?
Should
be there. Yeah, they're there.
I don't see them in the chat. I see it in our group chat. I don't see it in the chat in the Zoom. Okay, it's fine. I'll go back to it. Don't worry about it. Go ahead and go. I won't stop.
Yeah, check it again, because I'm pretty sure I tried to post it every single time, but if you don't see it, man, let me know if that's not in there. But
I see you in the chat. But sorry,
that's weird. Okay,
it's
in there.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll post it again real quickly too. So right now for the top 5, I got Acuna. Obviously, he was MVP last year. This is tough, man. You know, I like Mookie Betts, but right now it looks like the Dodgers are going to play him at shortstop. That's what I'm hearing. They made the switch to shortstop, which is like that's kind of interesting too, because I know they got a talented outfield now, but that's kind of like, man, you take a position, you know, position of strength, if you will, because obviously with you know that was happening with a lot of signings they had. So you can
Wait,
go Kuna, Judge,
shortstop?
Soda, Mookie Betts. He got moved to shortstop.
Wow.
Yep.
I missed that.
Yeah.
That's
I don't know, it's going to be a good experiment, a bad experiment for sure, but that's the news
you're
that
we're
looking at too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just trying to get that. So I got, you know, Kuna, Judge, Soto, Julio Rodriguez, and I've got Fernando Tatis, but, you know, again, you can kind of go anywhere with that too, but that's my top 5, if you will, too. So, Rob, you can kind of add your little 2 cents on that too, man. So,
well, now hearing about the Mookie Betts news, I totally missed that. But Ronald Acuna Jr., you said it. I mean, MVP, and he's healthy. He's definitely best in the league right now. Got 2 Yankees, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, as Andre mentioned. Julio Rodriguez, young star for Seattle, has been playing lights out. But I guess I'm going to have to go with Yordan Alvarez from Houston.
Yeah,
that's
good
that 5th guy. No, now that Betts is playing infield. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm close, but I mean, you know, listen, I know I'm old. I'm going off a little bit of reputation. That dude's going to be healthy this year. I'm going with Cooney and Judge. I'm going to put Trout in there because you can't forget about Mike Trout. Healthy Mike Trout is still a bad dude. I'm going to go with Julio Rodriguez. And then I'm going with Corbin Carroll from Arizona. He's real quietly the engine that power that Arizona Diamondbacks came to the World Series. So I want to give him some love in there. Trout is just fighting the injury bug, but don't forget that Mike Trout is still a bad MF-er.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You can go – if you go, like, top 5 versus top 10, you're going to put anyone up in there, because I was looking at a couple lists, too, like you said, JQ. 100%. Corbin, Alvarez, you know, obviously, you're looking at who's slashing, you know, it's tough as far as that. And then, you know, are you going to showing some love to Kyle Tucker? Are you showing some love to, there's a couple people I can go in here, you know, so it's just tough to kind of just put places
like,
the top 5.
I feel like
some of
the teams are two up and down. The person I struggle with is with Trout and Carroll are fine with Alvarez for Houston, because if you look at his numbers last year, he was just out there hitting bombs.
Yeah.
He also almost hit 300.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good stuff. Yep. All right, Rob, let's talk about Gerrit Cole. He's going to be out for 1 or 2 months with that elbow injury, which is a tough blow.
Yeah, it's a big blow for the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees, as you know, really struggled at the end of the year last year. 82-80 record. They struggled hitting the ball. And Gerrit Cole was really the only pitcher they really can rely on last year. So that's a huge blow. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, it looks like. And if you look at the rest of their pitching staff, Carlos Rodon, he's coming off an injury from last year. Nestor Cortez, he's coming off an injury from last year. And so, I mean, they got a lot of question marks here. I mean, Blake Snell is still a free agent. Jordan Montgomery is still a free agent. You know, I would have to think that Yankees going to have to go out and give them a look possibly. And they're going to have to search everybody's roster to see who's willing for a trade. You know the Yankees not going to sit back. Prior to this, you know, I kind of had the Yankees somewhere around 93 wins for the year and possibly winning the division. But, I mean, I think this could hurt them by at least 5 to 8 wins. I mean, you got to bring them down to somewhere between 85 to 88 possibly with losing Garrett Cole. So, I think that's definitely a huge blow to the team. Unless they make a move quickly.
Well, you know what the scuttlebutt is. That's Scott Boras out there trying to get Montgomery and Blake Snell off the free agency market. It's like, hey, Garrett, tell me your elbow hurt real bad so we can come get your homeboys. Y'all can all be in New York together. So I hope it's only 4 to 6 weeks for Garrett Cole. I mean, cause when you hear pitchers talking about that elbow hurting, it's really never a good thing that comes out of that MRI. You know, and so for him, maybe it's just inflamed and he needs some rest. That'd be the best case possible, a scenario possible. But, yeah, I'm some type of conspiracy theorist. I wonder if they, you know, they, of course, you know, they know each other. They've been represented by Scott Boras all this time together.
Yep.
I was like, this is some bullshit. Right. I think if my homeboy's paid, my elbow hurt more than my homeboy's on the street. So we'll see. It's going to be one of those two. Montgomery or Snell, I think. I mean, it's got to be.
Yeah. Or both.
Or both.
Tough call. So you got the predictions for the Yankees, Rob. What's your predictions for the Dodgers?
Hey, I think Dodgers are going to have the most wins of any team in the league. I think the Dodgers and the Braves, even though they're both in the National League, I think you're going to be the two best teams in baseball. I see the Dodgers somewhere around 103 wins. I see the Braves somewhere around 102 wins. And, the Dodgers still got some question marks in their pitching staff. Man, that lineup is just going to be flat-out insane.
Exactly.
So, if I had to make a prediction today, I would say the Dodgers and the Astros in the World Series. But, you know, obviously we know these teams that have been having byes in the playoffs haven't been successful here. So we'll see how that goes. But I think from a regular season perspective, I think the Dodgers and the Braves are going to be two teams with most wins this year.
Yeah, man. And to your point, cause I don't think anybody's going to argue with that. That Dodgers lot up to 6. So what I worry about is their defense. But, hell, if you can score 11, 12 runs every damn game, you can't really worry about defense too much. And that offense is just going to be so stupid. I saw an article where they were talking, I think, Snicker and somebody else about if you win it and you get it, having the opportunity to turn down the bye and play and give it to somebody else, so you don't go through that with all the other top teams have gone through having too many days off and losing momentum. So I found that interesting. I don't know if they're gonna. If that was just managers talking, or if that was something that was going to be something for me eventually put into, you know, into practice. But I was like, wow. Can you imagine somebody getting one seat like, I don't want to buy. We want to play tomorrow. you better win.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You better win if you do that. So I'm with you though. You know that they're going to be the best two teams in baseball. It's going to be wild. And then you start resting people, so you don't get that number one seed. So, you know, so you tank at the end, so you kill some of your win total. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I don't know. I'm too early for a prediction.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. I think, you know, obviously seeing, you know, the Braves, we thought we needed pitching. You know, I don't know if Chris Sale is enough, but, you know, having Chris Sale, you got him for the postseason. You know, that was a very risky move. Schwarber's been playing well. You got Renando Lopez. You got some interesting pieces. You got a really, really, you know, obviously Schrader's been playing, you know, been pitching lights out, you know, so he's been doing good. You're going to wonder what you get about Max Fried and obviously what's going to happen with Charlie Morton. So you have an interesting mix for that. So that's the biggest thing we're worried about. Do we have enough pitching? You know, that was a challenge whenever we ran into, you know, the Phillies, man, which, again, that's a love-hate relationship, man. So it's like you want the Phillies to be like, let's beat that ass, you know, but that's the team that you basically say, let's kind of get. They've eliminated us, and you had that crazy season last year to be knocked out by the Phillies. That was unfulfilled, you know, obviously expectations for that too. So lineup stays the same. Yeah. You get Jared Kelnick, you know, so we'll see how that plays out. You know, you get a resurgent with Harris. You know, Acuna, he's going to do his thing. He's probably not going to be on that tear like he had last year, but, you know, again, that lineup is still pretty personal. But you got to get that pitching resolved, man. So that's the thing that's going to be the biggest thing. Do we have enough for the Braves, if you will? So – That's what we're
on.
We didn't ask
no
damn Braves breakdown.
Sorry.
Get the hell out of here.
Did
that
anyway.
Wasn't a damn topic.
I did it anyway.
The Braves have a serious lineup, too, though, so they're going to be scary.
Yeah,
he just went
through a straight Braves. I was looking at the thing like, I don't see the Braves recapping the list of the topics.
Speaking of the Phillies, man, I got to give one of them powder blue jerseys, man. I'm going to have to give one of them.
Yeah, those are nice. That's it, man. That's what's
nice.
Up.
Yeah.
We already talked about pitching for the Yankees, Rob. I think you did that as well. I'm going to briefly talk about the 80 position with Trev Albers. And this is interesting that he's going to take the same job at Texas A&M. What's interesting about this is because this dude was like Mr. Nebraska, man. Like, played there, like, you know, played with Scott Frost, you know, back in the day. And like you said, yeah, JQ Money Talks, man. So he goes back and he actually has to fire his buddy who he played with, Scott Frost. That took some guts. But, you know, he did all these renovations to help, you know, fundraising and whatnot. And then he goes to Texas A&M, you know, and he did do a good job of hiring Matt Rhule to bring him back. So that was a kind of resurgence for that. So it's kind of like it feels like a little unfinished business, but it's all about money this juncture. Going to that, the SEC, you know, from that perspective. So I think that's a good move for him. And that it's all about money.
Oh, yeah. Texas A&M has a lot of it. They're in Texas, all in gas. And then when you're talking about talent, a lot of football talent in the state of Texas. Nebraska has to go elsewhere to get a lot of talent. About the only people they homegrown there is maybe linemen, and that's about it. But, you know, Texas A&M has an opportunity to get talent right there in their backyard and just about every sport, you name it. I mean, so, and they have the money to back it up. So I know it's tough leaving your alma mater, but Texas A&M has the money.
Mm-hmm. Money talks.
Listen, I don't care if Texas wasn't turning out no talent. As long as that money was coming through there, like you said, that oil and gas money, man, you can pay me really good for 5 years and fire me, and I'm like, okay, thanks. That's real nice.
I don't care.
When Ed Ogeron, I don't know if y'all saw that video, Ed Ogeron, when they, LSU fired him, they were giving him $17 million. Where do I sign up at?
That's crazy.
I can eat a few cheeseburgers with that.
Yeah. Like straight cash on me.
Let's talk about JQ's second favorite team, Colorado. What's their predictions for football this year? Because I feel like JQ hates Colorado. But go ahead, Rob.
I don't hate Colorado.
He's like that, but I got you. You don't hate him?
Okay.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
I'm thinking something along the lines of 7-5. I think they'll be improved. I still think they got a ways to go, obviously. I got them just getting by and making it to a bowl this year. They'll be an improved football team, but even with losing Texas and Oklahoma in that Big 12, they still got a pretty tough schedule. And, you know, I mean, I know they're heavily relying on the transfer portal. I mean, they'll have Shedeur Sanders, you know, back this year, but I just think you're going to be somewhere around the lines of the 7-5 team.
Again, I'll say it again. He's going to have more heat. I don't hate Colorado. I don't. What I'm trying to do out here is if there was a name, an ex really, really, really good football player, and he went to a team that was downtrodden, but he talks so much smack that he was on TV all the time. And okay, he was a white dude, and they had that philosophy that Colorado had last year. We'll be on here talking about how come you ain't giving him the same business that you would. You hyped him all up, and now you don't want to say nothing about it. Like, I feel like we have to hold Deion to that same standard. He talks about this, that, and the other. He on TV every other day when he came out the gate good, and then they fall off, and, you know, he don't want to be on TV no more. And, you know, but he still got all the celebrities coming in, but he's telling his people, you know, you got to keep the focus on here. We're trying to win games. It's like, man, you are also attributing to them not having the focus because you got too much going on for you, and then what you're bringing into the locker room, which you want these 18 and 20-year-olds to go out there and perform when you're taking the focus away from just being on football. So I feel like that needs to be said out loud, and I hope for Deion. I want that black man to succeed, and I think a 7-5 and a war down back Big 12 is not necessarily succeeding to me, but I'm just trying to hold him to the same standards that I would anybody else. You know, we all love Deion as a player, and I want him to be good as a coach, but I want him to focus more on coaching and not being a celebrity. It seems like you said it. So Oregon coach said, we hear him play, they hear for clicks. Like, he was right, and they whooped their ass. So,
with
start playing, yeah. That's all. I don't hate Colorado.
Fair. All right. Like I said, I mean, it kind of felt
What's
that
your
way,
prediction?
You're going to clarify that, you know, so I love you. What's your prediction?
Man, they got to win 8 games, bro. It's amazing what the difference of 8-4 sounds like that rolls off the tongue versus 7-5. Like, when you say 7-5, it's like, 7-5? You only won 7 games? Like, when you get to 8, it starts to feel like, oh, you doubled it up, right? You're 8-4. You got double the number of wins, you got losses. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's one of those, just one of those numbers. 8-4 is not, it's only mathematically better by a game, but it just looks on paper better. It sounds better when you say it out loud. Because when you look at it and say you doubled your wins, your losses were 7-5, it's like, damn, bro, you got lucky in one game. You was almost 6-6. You know what I mean? Like, you just got you got to have it for recruiting and psychology, right? So I think you got to get to 8. And plus, well, I say that, you know, you got all those powers leading you go to the Big Ten. I give you Utah. But, you know, if you feel like you're Colorado, you got Deion, you got all this money rolling through, that you should at least be the second-best team in the Big 12 and be challenging Utah for supremacy. So it's about perception. I get what you're saying about building the stretches up, but it's going to be about perception for him because he's brought so much attention and limelight to himself and to that school. They're not going to be happy with 7-5.
Good stuff. All right, let's keep this moving here. We're going to just keep this going. We're going to talk about, you know, the 2024 Heisman favorites. Go ahead, guys.
Well, you want to go first, JQ?
Well, I mean, you know, to me, it's going to be all the quarterbacks at the school that we talked about, right? I think Quinn Ewers, you know, is tied for the favor with Carson Beck because of Texas and it's Georgia, right? Dylan Gabriel is going to Oregon, I believe.
Yep.
So, you know, they got a chance about the money and time to A bringing back. I don't know about Jalen Milroe. I don't think Alabama's going to be as good. Maybe if you just want to spend some money like gambling. But the other two, Will Howard, you know, Ohio State and Jackson Dart at Ole Miss. Because you got those teams that are up there that are going to have really good teams, looking for offenses that we think going into the season are going to put up a lot of points to be heavy favorites in their conferences to come out and at least make it to the, you know, to those conference championship games. So, you know, it's it turns to a quarterback award for the most part. So it's going to be all the QBs of the top 6 or 7 schools out the gate are going to be in the mix. And it's going to come down to those matchups when they play each other, you know, throughout the season, who gets the head-to-head win, who looks better kind of piece. But, yeah, all the quarterbacks, man.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I mean, Quinn Ewers, I mean, he's got to replace his top two wide receivers and his tight end. But, you know, Texas is going to have the talent. But obviously he's going to be in the mix, as JQ mentioned, Carson Beck. I still think Jalen Milroe would have a shot, but it's going to depend on the team's success. Dylan Gabriel, I think Oregon is going to be a top 5 team this year, so definitely I think he'll be in the mix. And I think Will Howard's going to be in the mix. I don't know if he's as talented as some of these other guys, but I think he's going to be in the mix just because of the talent he's going to have around him, right? And I think he's going to have an opportunity to put up some big numbers. I'm not ready to put DJ Ugonglier in that conversation. I think Florida State is the favorite in the ACC. I know some people are saying he's going to be in that conversation. I think Florida State is going to be the favorite in the ACC this year, but I'm not ready to put him in that private conversation. Jackson Dart is definitely an underrated guy that Ole Miss has a chance to be a top 5 ball club this year too. And I'm not being a homer here, but a guy you're going to have to watch is Garrett Nussmeier. A guy can flat-out throw the football at LSU. So, obviously, they got to replace some receivers as well, like Texas does. But he'll be a sleeper in that conversation, too.
Y'all going to play some defense this year? If y'all ain't going to play no defense, he ain't going to be in it.
I hope so, man. We ruined a national championship offense last year with that defense.
You did. I wasn't trying to be funny. I'm saying it's going to be hard to get it. You know, if you're a quarterback, even though you don't play defense, when your team gets that many losses, it starts dropping you down.
Yep.
So, you know, especially when you have other Bible candidates.
Well, you can only go up from what we had last year. That's for sure.
Why did you say the same?
That's true. That's true.
You can only go up. I can't imagine the LSU team having that kind of defense back years, but.
There's going to be some people fired again.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Hey, we're going to keep this going here. I guess we're going to talk about the ACC. We did the Heisman Trophy favorites, ACC football predictions really quick. Please fire that off.
I just mentioned Florida State is one. I still think Clemson.
Florida State, Clemson.
Clemson's going to be there. And I think where it gets interesting is 3-5 for me. I think Miami's got a chance to be a sleeper with Cam Ward. But NC State with McCall, the transfer from Coastal Carolina, I think they're in a conversation. Basically. Louisville probably is one of the most successful programs in the transfer portal in all of college football this year. So I think they're in that 3-5 mix. I think Florida State, Clemson, definitely 1-2. I think Miami, NC State, and Louisville will be somewhere in that 3-5 conversation.
That's fair. Keep it at that. But let's get to JQ's favorite topic here. He's shaking his head. What's the French toast? Ohio State assistant goes to Michigan?
Yeah, he's dead to me, bro.
I was going to ask you that question.
He's dead.
Dead to you. He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead to me. I'm pulling out that tiki barber. You're dead to me, bro. Listen, you cannot go. They're going to change everything. They're going to change them to everything that they do that he was around just for that one game, right? You know what I mean? Like, everything. And have a sprinkle throughout the season so they get ready for it. Like, that's a huge deal. He was doing okay in the recruiting department. He lost some battles, but, you know, the collective and NIL helped him get Durkins from Ole Miss to come. But, yeah, man, you can't go to Michigan. That's an FU. I don't know what he asked for. And Ohio State said no. He said, okay, I'm going to show your ass. And he went to Michigan. So it's something we don't know behind the scenes. But, yeah, that dude, you know. I'm also better than yourself, but you can't take the same damn job at Michigan when you was at Ohio State. Like, come on, bro, at least be the OC. You know what I mean? Or the assistant head coach. You can't move lightly from Ohio State to Michigan. What?
Oh, God.
Something is dirty. Something is right in Denmark, like they said. We're going to get some more information as the season comes out. But something's wrong behind the scenes there. But, yeah, go ahead, bro.
Hey, let's fire through these next the NBA topics really quickly, too. Kawhi Leonard leaves, back spasms, you know, still getting hurt. Rob, top five players under the radar. Keep this quick, man, because I want to spend some time talking about what's happening in the NFL free agency, too, man. So you do that, and quick update. Well, so go ahead.
Clippers going on the road trip. Kawhi Leonard did travel with the team, but he's going to be questionable. So we'll see what happens. They're sitting in the number four spot in the West standings. Five underrated players. I might be a little biased again, but I got two Pelicans. Herb Jones. Not on her. This guy should be first-team all-defense, man. He's playing phenomenal. So the New Orleans got a slogan, not on her right now. So Jalen Suggs from Orlando, man, he's a flat-out bulldog, man. The guy plays tough as nails, particularly on the defensive end. And one of JQ's favorite players, Grayson Allen. You talk about the big three in Phoenix, but, man, he's having a real solid season. Stepping up for them this year, too. And Dante DiVincenzo, remember him at Villanova, man. Really good player, playing well.
He's playing
with the
Knicks, playing well.
This year. And my last guy, another Pelican, Trey Murphy, the third. 6'10", can shoot it from 40 feet out. Really good defender. And so they got some young players starting to step up there outside of Zion and D.I.
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to look into that when I was asleep. I'm sorry. But Kawhi went is a big deal, right, because he's old. And you know how sometimes how he tries to manage his injuries to get him through. But right now, when you got 17, 18 games left in the season, he doesn't really have a whole lot of time to recuperate from. That's a big deal because he was playing so well early in the year. He was playing a lot more games than we were used to him playing in, right? And I wonder if that, you know, trying to show up, hey, I can't be a superstar who doesn't need the low management that, you know, started to wear on his back throughout the season. But, you know, the Clippers were playing good ball. And I know they were a trendy pick to be one of the teams that could, you know, upset the apple cart in the West and give Denver a run for their money. Because, you know, you got Plumlee and Zubac down low. Not that they're going to give you a ton of points, but you got big bodies to kind of throw at him at the Joker. So him being out is a big deal for the Clippers. You know, I'm not a Clippers fan by any stretch of the imagination. But in terms of their title, folks, that's a big blow if he's unable to come back and play at the level that he was playing at.
Yeah. Yeah, Tyronn Lue is one of the more underrated coaches in the league, too. So they're going to be competitive if they're healthy. Harden, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, for sure. They'll have an opportunity to be asleep in the Western Conference, no doubt about it.
Here's a fantasy shout-out, Rob.
Fantasy shout-out, man. We had quite a few teams that won 7-2 this weekend, so it was quite a few of us. Scary Daddy in Atlanta, his team, Blue Devil All-Stars, won 7-2 over Madhouse on Madison. Rondo in New Orleans, his team, Saints Pelicans 23, with a 7-2 win over CKD Black Belt. Andre's team, 7-2 over Grand Theft Alvarado. JQ's team, Ohio Players, 7-2 over Pastor Rock. And last but not least, my team, the Dream Team, 7-2 over the Champion Pier. And JQ's team, Ohio Players, still in first place, 119-51-1. Still dominating. Those are the fantasy shout-outs for the week.
We're getting banged up, though. But, I mean, I'll take it. I'd use route strategy. I drafted like 8 centers.
That's always a good shot, man. It's like, yeah, we were talking shit, and next thing you know, he's like, oh damn, okay, that shouldn't have worked, man. Because
he was
kicking
the ass.
I was drafting point guards and trying to get assistance. I'm like, yeah, maybe that's not the way to go, man. So you got to live and learn, man. So it's all good. Hey, so
play
four. We're gonna kind of transition. That's all good. That's true. So let's talk about this the next situation where you've got we're kind of transitioning to the NFL here, and I don't know, Rob. So we talk about things for the Vikings, and this is interesting, right? Because obviously they signed Sam Darnold. But even according to your mock draft, Rob, I don't think he's the final piece. I think he's just kind of the bridge. I think this is a situation like, as you had in your mock draft, there may be a trade up some way, somehow. So I think there's a different target. And we'll talk more about what's happening with that interesting dichotomy because, you know, again, after letting the dust settle, there's two parts. Some feels like, you know, I know you said, Rob, you had a lot of Vikings that were happy that Kirk was gone. You know, so be careful what you wish for. But there's some things kind of feels like maybe they were happy that Atlanta took Kirk. You know, they may not say that, you know, publicly, but I just said JQ gave him some truth serum. They may be like, yeah, we're actually happy. We'll have to pay him another contract because, you know, I know he's playing well, but maybe they just didn't know if he was the next guy. But there's a lot of things happening with this too, man. So I do think there's going to be a situation where there's going to be a trade. You know, Sam Darnold, he's just kind of there. You can't be happy with that here in the Vikings. You know? So I know you're like, bye-bye, Kirk. But then you basically had a downgrade, obviously, if you're asking me, man. So, but you know, I think there's going to have something happen in the draft, and, you know, it may put him back a little bit, you know, for sure.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, I have Minnesota trading up to number 6, where the Giants are sitting in the 6th spot right now. I got Minnesota trading up to 6 to get J.J. McCarthy in that spot. So watch Minnesota or Denver, possibly, either one of those.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Trade up to get McCarthy. But in this mock, I got Minnesota moving up to 6. To draft McCarthy. Maybe he sits behind Sam Darnold a year. Maybe he sits behind for a few games and then take over. I think Atlanta getting Kirk Cousins is definitely an upgrade for Atlanta at the quarterback position when you saw what Atlanta had at the quarterback position last year. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, on the other hand, for Minnesota, you know, I mean, Kirk Cousins is 35 years old, coming off a torn Achilles, and those are not an easy injury to come back for either. So, I mean, you know, did they want to pay him that amount of money as well? So, you know, it's give or take here and there. Those are the chances you take. And obviously, they're rolling the dice with this. I'm not saying I agree with it. I would have took my chances on keeping the guy there. But now, like I said, you're going to go with a rookie quarterback and a veteran who hasn't had much success starting in the league so far. So, but that's why I have Minnesota doing trading up to get McCarthy at 6.
Oh God, that's compounding a bad decision with a worse decision. Trading up to get JJ McCarthy's new throwing ass. to me, I think the resounding one is Kirk to Atlanta. Because you look at that, I think Russell Wilson, I mean, he's better than Kenny Pickett. That combination of getting the Carolina's decent cornerback in that trade for Deontay, which doesn't make me feel great about, you know, that defense is already good and making it a little better anyway. And if you just get Russell Wilson to have some competent quarterback play, that's a big move for Pittsburgh. Derrick Henry to the Ravens.
Yeah.
It's a monster.
Yeah.
Right. Is that one we all
yeah.
in the top five movies?
Yeah. One of them. No, we're
okay.
talking about
the QB, but...
What's the next for the Vikings? But you went
sorry.
Another shot. That's okay.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I was too far down. Yeah, the Vikings are tripping. So, yeah, you made your bed with Kirk Cousins, and you didn't have the backup plan in place. You knew that when his contract was up, and you sat there and you rolled it. You didn't want to franchise him, and you put your stuff there. Now, you know, the only thing you can hope is that Chicago says you get Caleb Williams, and we don't care about giving you Justin in trade division, trading same division, which is something
nope.
you very rarely see. But they're running out a whole lot of leverage in Chicago because all the spots are drying up. You know, it's musical chairs, and there's no chairs left. Unless you think maybe the Raiders want him, but you put him at the same OC that he sucks with in Chicago, I just don't see that being a viable option, you know, for him to go in there because people guard and mention. So if you are Minnesota, you might need to call him and you get Justin Jefferson that comes out and says, hey, he basically was like, man, Sam Darnold, you got to get the hell out of here. He asked Justin, you know, pretty much by name. So if you want to keep Justin Jefferson happy, having him play with Sam Darnold is not the answer. If he went out there and there's a quarterback available, and we all think that Justin's going to be better than Sam this year, you better find a way. They may have to overpay for Chicago. That's what Chicago's waiting on. But, yeah, that's poor planning by the Minnesota front office. You knew that dude with that contract was up. You knew you didn't want to pay him. You got to get you a start.
Yep.
Why not make the Trey Lance deal? Why not make the Trey Lance deal that Dallas did? Why don't you make it as protection for Kirk Cousins leaving? Then at least you can say, you know what, we got a top three quarterback in the draft in terms of draft slot in the building that we can expound on, and you can get the fans behind, like, yeah, well, he did go number three, San Francisco. There's got to be something there. You know what I mean? But now you get Sam Darnold, everybody's like, what the fuck is this? So, yeah, I don't know. The Vikings are tripping.
Yeah,
they
can't even get you look at his Justin Fields situation right now for Chicago. I mean, they could possibly go into the season with him and Caleb Williams at the quarterback position, and you possibly wait for maybe a quarterback to get hurt, and then Justin Fields' value may go up at that point. I mean, right now, the only two teams I could possibly see him going with is Denver and Minnesota. And obviously, at this stage, there's not a lot of teams who have a great vision for Justin Fields as a starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, obviously, when you see a lot of teams, you've seen the Raiders go out and sign Minshew, right? And so there's obviously, and you see Minnesota, well, the Bears may not even want to trade him to Minnesota in their own division anyway, right?
Yeah.
There could be very well a situation where the Bears go into the season with both of these quarterbacks on the roster and possibly they wait for a quarterback to get hurt around the league and an NFL needy team, you know, makes that trade, kind of like Minnesota did this past season when they got Dobbs from Arizona, right? Because they knew they were getting Kyler Murray back. So it could be that kind of situation for Fields going into the season. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. You know, I think the Bears are going to be smart here with this decision. I don't think they're going to just settle. I think they may have an opportunity during the season to make that trade.
Man, that's going to be an awkward quarterback room, though, boy. Ooh, that's going to be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You made it worse. You made it worse. And just back, and just finally, like you said, JQ, it's interesting because you would have thought they would have tried to, like, lock something up, you know, during the season. Say, hey, we know the day is coming. Just go ahead and get it, you know. Hey, let's go ahead and get this contract extended so we didn't even get to this point. So it was a very poorly planned. But it kind of feels like they really didn't, you know, really want to, like,
have
a keep going because he keeps – So, but he didn't do it right.
Yeah.
It'll be good. It'll be fine. Let's just let that go. And,
you look at these teams like Atlanta and Las Vegas who signed Kirk Cousins and Minshew respectively. They didn't have to give up any draft capital for Justin Fields. I mean, I know there are a lot of fans in Atlanta that are upset by not getting Justin Fields. But you would have to trade some draft capital. Now you still got the 8th pick in the draft. I got them taking Dallas Turner. They're probably the best defensive player in the draft here. You didn't have to give up any draft capital. And so did the Raiders. The Raiders keeping the 13th pick in the draft. With Minshew, and as JQ mentioned in our text thread this week, Minshew had to coach competitive. I mean, they were a better team than the Bears were this past year. And I don't think he's a better quarterback than Fields, but he did have that team very competitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll talk about the five players in the defensive draft, Robin, kind of your mock draft too, but just kind of really quickly, because I think after the dust settled, and I think this is something that we talked about with Kirk Cousins, it's like I said this, he is the best quarterback that was out there for the Falcons. If you're trying to win now, that is the best quarterback for the Falcons in that situation too, because you talked about, Raheem said it, even in press conferences, he's like, hey, if we had better quarterback play, I may not even be the coach. So you recognize how important and crucial that position was. You're not really sure. Like I said, even though we want Justin because of, I think his ceiling is higher than Kirk Cousins, but he's kind of an unknown. He's not a sure thing. He's got talent, but he's not a sure thing. So, I know the excitement is there. He'd be like, great, we'd be some great plays, but, Raheem's not going to bet his, I need a sure thing right now. So that's what's happening. That's why you get that in. And you get a guy that actually wants to be here. It's actually pretty exciting listening to the press conference and, how he wants to get film work. I mean, this is a true professional, man. So, again, I'm not saying, drinking all the cool. Yeah, not even that. I mean, his family's here. He talked about how he grew up and he stayed with his in-laws for, every time the off season he's been, in his in-laws are just Atlanta fans, like Hawks fans, the Braves fans. I mean, and he's like, I've been seeing this. So, for him, he said it's a privilege to be quarterback. So, you're like, wow, this guy actually – he's, obviously saying the right things. Yes, the money is helpful too, but, he does appear like, hey, I want to make this happen. So that's actually a little refreshing. So that's settled. Like, all right, man, but again, deep down, you still want to adjust the fields for the potential, and, the ceiling is higher. But I guess for the best quarterback, he is the best quarterback that we could have gotten in this instance too. So for the win.
Look at Tampa Bay and New Orleans were both 9-8 this past year, and the Falcons were 7-10. You got to think a healthy Kirk Cousins is at least worthy of two more wins to be right there in the thick of things. And then when you look at the weapons, he threw more touchdown passes last year in 8 games than Ritter threw in how many games? 15?
Oh, my God. 14? Oh, my God. It was so bad. And JQ nailed it. JQ nailed it. That dude is like, that dude is terrible. We're like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Spencer Rattler. Everyone's like, we should get Spencer Rattler. I'm like, y'all better get the F out of here. We don't want no Spencer Rattler here.
He only had 3 balls to the ground at the South Carolina Pro Day, and it was 3 drops. I said, that don't mean nothing he's throwing against air. Put him in a real game. Get him with Spencer Rattler stuff. You go ahead and draft Spencer Rattler if you want to.
That's a bad issue, man. Hey, Rob. So let's talk about some defensive players. I know I know you had Dallas Turner, and I'm kind of 50-50 because, I don't know, you felt like he'd be more dominant minus, Will Anderson left. There's some concerns. Obviously, he's an athletic freak. I think Jared Verse is a little bit more balanced, if you will, more balanced against the run. That seems like the dude. But, again, tell me who you think your top defensive player so far in the NFL draft are.
Well, obviously, Dallas Turner, I have him number one right now. I mean, it was lights out at the combine. You saw him play on the field. You saw him knock Jaden Daniels out of the game when he played at LSU this past year. Plays with definitely an edge. The guy will be explosive as a pass rusher. I think it's going to come down to what your defensive philosophy is. Jared Verse is definitely a bigger guy, but just as explosive, plays to run really well. I have Jared Verse as the number two guy. I know if Dennis Allen was making that pick, he would probably pick Jared Verse because that's just the prototype that he likes from an end perspective.
Sure.
But I got Turner one. I think Dallas Turner has the potential. I'm not saying he will be, but he has the potential to be a Michael Parsons kind of player as far as rushing the passer at the next level. So he's got that kind of explosiveness.
Be
so
careful
we'll
with that.
Kind of yeah, yeah. Jared Verse, I got him as the second guy. Right now, my third guy is Byron Murphy, the big defensive tackle. He was another guy, ran extremely well at 300 pounds, defensive tackle from Texas, so I got him at number three. Kerryon Arnold, cornerback from Alabama. His 40 time wasn't the best. He ran a 4.51. We'll see how well he does at the Alabama Pro Day. But you look at his technique and his ball skills. I mean, he's a great tackler, physical player. Have him as number four. And Kenyon
Mitchell,
cornerback from Toledo. from JQ's home state, Kenyon Mitchell. I have a number 5, the cornerback from Toledo, fifth best defensive player in the draft.
Yeah, 4-5-1 would cost you
3-3-40.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. 4-5-1 in corner will get you moved to safety and will get you dropped in the draft. I don't care how well you tackle, how good your technique is. The dude just run by you. You can't catch up. You just ran by your ass. So if you got to run something to 4-4 as a pro day, and then you stay at home cooking.
You have to play a lot of
cover 2 defense. Yeah. You can't play no man.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, go ahead and do the mock draft because I know we're getting close. We got 50 minutes. So I want to kind of talk to that, too. So go ahead and talk about your mock draft 11.0.
All right, here we go. We still got Caleb Williams, 1 at Chicago. We still got Jay Daniels, 2 in Washington. We still got Drake May, 3. Well, I actually moved Drake May to 3. I actually had Marvin Harrison at 3 in the last mock. Marvin Harrison, 4 to Arizona with Kyle Murray. Malik Nabers to LSU to go with Justin Herbert. Obviously, they released Mike Williams today as well at the wide receiver position for get some cap space. Already mentioned J.J. McCarthy to Minnesota. The Rome Odunze to Tennessee, obviously this was before Calvin Murphy, Calvin Ridley signed. Calvin Murphy, wow, we're way back. Before the Calvin Ridley signed today. So, Rome Odunze, I have number 7 now, but that could change obviously after the Calvin Ridley signing. Dallas Turner to Atlanta. Joe Alt, off of the tackle from Notre Dame. You know, you get your quarterback and Caleb Williams. You get your offensive tackle to protect them, give them some more weapons, and you might have something there. And J.C. Latham, I have an offensive tackle from Alabama. I have him going number 10 to the Jets right now to give Aaron Rodgers some help. And just to look at, I did the 5-round mock draft is posted on our Talking Sports with a 12-man Facebook page. Elsewhere for Atlanta, I got him taking Kamari Lassiter in the 2nd round and stay home and get a Georgia player. He's another guy. He ran a 4.6 40 on his pro day today. But when you look at his game tape, he's got good closing skills, good ball skills. You're going to have the right scheme. Atlanta's looking to improve their defense. The secondary was torched quite a bit late in the season, so they're going to have to get some help there. And Atlanta has 2 third-round picks. I haven't taken Jalen McMillan, wide receiver from Washington, 6'1", 197, slot receiver. He played primarily in the slot at Washington. Good open field speed. And I'm taking Trey Benson, running back from Florida State, 4.39 in the combine to give him some depth to the running back position. And then the 4th round, I got Atlanta taking DJ James, another corner from Auburn, to try to improve some depth at the corner position. James has got good tape, good short area quickness, 164 pounds. He's going to have to bulk up and play at the next level. But he's a willing tackler. You watch him on game tape. You know,
shit,
he's
about
to
eat himself to play in the NFL. He's going to bulk up. Damn.
164. And in the 5th round, Atlanta taking Christian Mahogany, getting some offensive line help, offensive guard from Boston College. 6'3", 322, violent physical player. He's going to have to prove his footwork at the next level. Cincinnati, man, a lot of question marks for wide receiver right now in Cincinnati. What's going to happen with Tyler Boyd? What's going to happen with T.
He's dead to me, too.
I got him taking Brian Thomas, Jr., 6'3", or a little bit over 200 pounds from LSU. Had a big-time year, led college football in touchdown catches this past year. Ran a 4.33 40 at 6'3", over 200 pounds. Big-time playmaker. I had him taking him. Obviously, that can change. We'll get some updated news from T. Higgins as well as Tyler Boyd possibly. Cincinnati's got improved their secondary, too. In the 2nd round, I got him taking Chris Abrams-Drain from Missouri. 5'11", 173 pounds. Smooth athlete, great body control. Another guy that's going to have to get a little bit stronger, though, to play at the next level with great ball skills. Another wide receiver in the 3rd round, Malachi Corley, Western Kentucky, 5'11", 210, strong wide receiver. Played in the air raid offense. Look at these stats. In the last 2 years, 180 catches, 2,200 yards, and 20 touchdowns the last 2 years in that air raid offense at Western Kentucky. He could be kind of like a sleeper as a rookie, that Tank Dell from Houston last year, but obviously he's bigger than Tank. Also, Cincinnati got a compensatory pick, so they got another third-round pick. Delmore Glaze, offensive lineman from Maryland, 6'4", 323, 82-inch wingspan. He's a good pass protector with strong hands, can play tackle or guard at the next level, so he's going to give you some versatility there. And then in the fourth round, I got the Bengals taking Jaheim Bell. It's the second mock I've had him to the Bengals, 6'2", 241. He'll be primarily a pass-catching tight end, probably primarily playing on passing downs. Last but not least, in the fifth round, Mohamed Kamara, 6'1", 250, edge rusher from Colorado State. Got better every year in college, had 30.5 sacks in five seasons. Would probably be a primary edge rusher on passing downs. I don't think he'll be ready to play every down going into the league in his rookie year. And last but not least, we're not talking about the Cowboys since Gary's not on. So we're talking about the Saints here. We'll catch you later, Gary. I got the Saints taking Troy Fertitta, offensive lineman from Washington in the first round. Saints got a lot of question marks on offensive line. He's another guy that can play tackle or guard. Really strong guy, one of the better linemen in college last year. Second round, I got the Saints taking Xavier Leggett. Saints got three receivers at 25 and younger that really shined toward the end of the year, especially when Michael Thomas went out. They were able to showcase that. But getting another one to add some depth, Xavier Leggett, 6'1", 221, ran a 4.39 40 and a 40-inch vertical. So I think he's got a real chance to be a playmaker. The Saints going to have any third or fourth round picks, but they got four fifth round picks. Javion Corn, offensive guard from Miami, 6'4", 319, 82-inch wingspan. He's got a strong knockout punch, but he's going to have to improve his techniques. Then we got a linebacker from Cal, Jackson Sermon, 4'7", 1. Will probably help him out on special teams right away. Will Shipley from Clemson, 5'11", 206. He helped him as a receiver, runner, and a return man. And then last but not least, another player from Clemson, Xavier Thomas, 6'2", 244, edge rusher. He's got an explosive first step, needs to improve in stopping the run. He'll be a situational pass rusher going into the league as a rookie.
It'll be a full-hole revolt. It's just not going to take an offensive tackle and our defense fans in the first round. And the reason why I say that, not just being a Bengals fan, they were preparing for Tyler Boyd to be gone. I say he's dead to me because he's talking about going to the Steelers because he's from Pittsburgh. He went to Pitt. When they took my dude from Purdue and then they took Yoshi out of Hawaii last year. So they've been preparing for, you know, that slot receiver. And real quietly, the dude they took out of Hawaii is built just like T. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but I think they've been preparing to get that wide receiver room. We have some backups in case things happen. But when you let Jonah go, you don't set feelings. Say what?
Is his boy going already?
It's turning that way. I don't even think they're really having any conversations with bringing him back. I think he knew he did. You know, it was on the wall. How do you pay him and team the same offseason and then pay Jamar next year? Somebody's going to lose in that. Tyler Boyd's the oldest of the three. He's going to be the one that gets let go. I mean, but going to Pittsburgh is some bullshit. But, you know.
Wrapping this up, we got 7 minutes. Hey, Rob, good draft. Got Tavondre Sweat from Texas, a big defensive tackle, 6'4", 366. I like Cam Hart, too, man, the 6'3 corner from Notre Dame, just looking at that. But I really want to ask your thoughts about Jordan Travis. I know I was looking up where he may go. They're saying they may be like third round. Do you think that's going to be the situation with him? That somebody may get a steal if they let him kind of just like rehab and stuff like that. What do you think about that?
Man, I'd be shocked if Jordan Travis gets picked in the third round. I think he's 6th, 7th or undrafted. I think he's somewhere in that range right now, especially coming off that injury. So I'll be shocked if he goes that high in the third round. Maybe he gets lucky and gets in the 5th round. But, you know, right now I got him in the 6th, 7th undrafted range.
Gotcha. I was looking that up. That may be interesting, too. That's tough. All right. Yeah, we got about 4 minutes.
Yeah, I got Cam Hart going to Philly in the second round, and Tavondre Sweat going to Miami in the second round.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, there's some situations as far as that too. So really quickly, I'm going to talk about some highlights, some quick moves, some good moves. Raiders, man, you talked about just what they've been doing. We talked about Minshew. They get, again, you know, Wilkins to kind of pair with Max Crosby. We talked about that. That was pretty pretty interesting too. Pretty stellar, I think. That's pretty scary if you're the Raiders. And I'm looking at a couple other good moves. I like what the Texans did, obviously getting Danielle Hunter to pair him with Will Anderson. The Texans surprisingly are –
I like
defense,
that move.
And they always had a good – they had a good situation with C.J. Stroud. That you like his trajectory. But that's just really too –
getting Joe Mixon,
got
too.
Talks. I know we're good. Joe Mixon was great. The trade with Cincinnati. But really quickly, I know you want to highlight a couple things. We've got about 5 minutes left here. So anything you want to talk about as far as that, that's fantastic, if you would. Just want to highlight.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the five players. I mean, obviously, Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. I think the Giants get Brian Burns, man. I was happy to see him out of the division, man. He found the best pass rusher in our division. And
yeah.
The Giants, and they traded him out of there. So you got to like, even though the Giants, even though they lost Saquon Barkley, man, I think they spent some money in some really good spots. Man, you got Brian Burns, one of the better edge rushers in the game, and they went out and got them some really good offensive line help well. It gives them opportunity to maybe get one of these elite receivers in the draft to get them some help there. I don't see them drafting the quarterback early anyway because now they just signed Drew Locke. And so, obviously, they still think Daniel Jones is a starter with Drew Locke being a backup. So I don't see them drafting a quarterback. Then Christian Wilkins to the Raiders, a heck of a pickup by them. You mentioned it, Daniel Hunter and even Minnesota again, Jonathan Greener from another edge rusher who had a big-time year for Houston. They basically traded edge rushers there, too. So I really like those. It's probably the best five pickups, even though the Brian Burns is technically a trade. I think those are probably the best five pickups so far.
Yeah, those running backs, though, in Barkley to Philadelphia and Derrick Henry, besides my chagrin, in Baltimore, that's going to be real tough. He's not a really pass pusher, but you put him, he fits what Baltimore wants to do, be bruising, run the ball. I just hope he don't have as much left in the tank as everybody else thinks he does, because that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, the running backs went like crazy, man. You know, with Josh Jacobs to Green Bay, and then they cut Aaron Jones, and he gets scooped up right away by Minnesota. Austin Eckler to Washington, Derrick Henry to Tennessee, all these running backs to change teams, man. That was just that was insane, you know, the fury in those running backs. And obviously you got to like what the Eagles did too. And, you know, the Eagles are an interesting situation because, I mean, they made the playoffs last year, but in the last 6-7 weeks, they were one of the worst teams in football. Not one of the worst playoff teams. They were one of the worst teams in football, period, at the end of the year.
Right. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. Jalen Hurts didn't play well down the stretch.
He was hurt.
I mean, they lost Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle. They lost Kelsey. You know, can they?
He's retiring.
You know, will that what's the play call they run it all the time? I'm drawing a blank here.
Philly special.
Tush push.
Yeah, the tush push. Will it work without Kelsey, right? You know, so there's some questions.
Oh, yeah, oh, that one.
I mean, they really struggled, and their secondary was horrible last year. So, I mean, they went out and got Chauncey Gardner Johnson. Will their team be improved this year? I mean, I thought they did solid, but it's going to be interesting to see if they're back to be an elite team next year. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
We got Naj on, so we'll let Naj do his last little thing for really quickly, too. So we're going to do like a small OT to let Naj do the talk with me, then we'll jump off. But go ahead, Rob. Do your thing, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of our live portion of the show. You can catch the rest of this show. We're going to have a brief OT portion. You can click on the same link the rest of the week, and you guys will get to hear what Naj has to say in our OT portion. Ladies and gentlemen, next Wednesday night on the East Coast, we're going to be back at you, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. We want to hear from the folks down on South Beach in Miami. Is Tua the long-term answer quarterback for the Dolphins? Or the Heat going back to the finals? Who want to hear from y'all down on South Beach in Miami? In the Central Time Zone, it's going to be 10 p.m. Central. Chicago, we want to hear from y'all What's the deal with Caleb Williams, Justin Fields? He's only going to the season with both the quarterbacks. We want to hear from Chicago in next year. That's all we want to hear about Chicago. We want to hear about the Cubs and the White Sox. In the Mountain Time Zone, it's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. We want to hear from the Denver Nuggets. Are y'all going back to the finals? And we want to hear if Sean Payton going to lead Denver Broncos back to the playoffs. Personally, I'm not a fan of Sean anymore after the way he treated Russell Wilson. So I hope they go 0-17 next year. And then out on the West Coast, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we want to go to Los Angeles. We want to hear from y'all. You got Jim Harbaugh in town. You got Sean McVay. You know, do you got the right coach for the Lakers? We want to hear from y'all in Los Angeles, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time next week. Good night, people.
They don't have the right coach for the Lakers. No, hell no. Darvin Ham's tour is terrible. What I was going to say is, listen here, San Francisco, you better not trade Deebo Samuel to Baltimore because that'll be some bullshit. God damn it, don't do it. That's all I got.
What are your thoughts? Nah, sorry, man. I kept checking for you, then I guess you must have, like, snuck in there, man. But go ahead with your last thoughts, man.
Oh, you good, man. What's up, y'all?
What's up, bro?
Call Carolina. That's all I'm telling everybody. Call Carolina. This is clearly a franchise that can be fleeced. And they also go against the thinking in this world where we said you're a multi-billionaire. You obviously are smarter than everybody. Clearly, that man is not. People are running his pockets like you've never seen. Supposedly, there were two firsts on the table for Brian Burns last year. They decided not to move him, and now they move him for a pittance. Pass rusher in his prime, something that should never be done. And as far as the Bears, again, I told y'all he's faking like he on the phone, bro. Everybody knows you have to make a trade, so they're just sending you trash in the trade. I know it's disrespectful at this point, the offers he's probably getting, but he's going to have to settle on one of these bad offers because you got to clean that slate and bring Caleb in there and really embrace him with the city and everything else. So they need to get this Fields deal done. And so you're not going to get market value for Fields. Everybody's going to squeeze you. That's what the game is. But, yeah, man, loving this football free agency. And shout out to all these damn capologists and people who told us, well, you know, running backs don't matter. You can just draft running backs. Running backs don't matter. Yeah, okay. Then the first day of free agency, what do we see people spending money on? Running backs.
All of them.
Because – yeah. It ain't just about
they need big time contracts, but they all got snatched up.
Yeah, but the point is the running game still matters because you have to milk the clock when you get lead. The running game still matters because down and distance matters, short yardage matters, and you'd much rather have a CMC or a Derrick Henry than just a guy. So, you know, just stop listening to these people who tell you stuff like this, man. Running backs don't matter. The next gambit is going to be tight ends don't matter. So just watch out for these comments, man. Don't listen to them.
Hey, Nodge.
Yeah, and you got to have depth in the running back position. In this day and age, you got to have two or three of those guys. I mean, you got to have depth at the running back position to be successful as far as running the football. So, I mean, every team, I mean, you got to have two or three of those guys.
Wrapping this up. So, Nodge, I know you're – pretty upset. Now that it does settle, you're okay with Kirk Cousins now, or how are you feeling about that now?
Okay, to Rob's point, yes, you do need multiple running backs, but you still want a premium one on your roster because if they're healthy down the stretch and into the playoffs, that's going to really matter between winning and losing. As far as the Falcons, look, Drake, look, man. This is terrible. The man is old. He's coming off an Achilles injury. You gave him all the money in the world, and you gave it for multiple years. Like, this was the worst outcome we could possibly have. Now, do I think he'll make Kyle Pitts viable? Yes. Kyle Pitts would be much better. Drake London would be much better. But we know Kirk Cousins, bro. We know how this story ends. So if the goal was to be 8-8, okay. We could possibly go 8-8 this year and next year. So I don't know, man. I just felt like we gave up on a high ceiling and settled on a low floor.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, that's why we let everyone have opinions. Again, if you look at the dynamics pieces of the contract, it's not as bad as you think. The way that they broke it down, they had a really good breakdown as far as the contract. He's only getting $90 million for 2 years. If he plays well, that scenario, you have to pay him the full length of the $180 million, if you will. And you can stretch that. You can do some things with the contract on the back end, if you will. You can convert it to a signing bonus. If you are paying him, that means that he's played well. So, again, essentially it's almost like a two-year contract if you think about it. But that's if you really want to get to the minutiae of the contract, if you will, for closing. And like I said, I mean, I get it. It wasn't what we expected. But like I said earlier, and we're going to wrap this up, I mean, he was the best quarterback because he has the processing right now. Like I said, he doesn't have as high a ceiling as Justin Fields, but if you want to win now, the guy you get, and we'll see how it plays out. I mean, we don't have a crystal ball for sure. I get it, you know. And the Achilles, there's been players that have had, I know from what we're talking about, some people have played well after the Achilles injury too. You know, they're talking about, we're not going to talk about damn Aaron Rodgers, but they did say he had, you know, his situation too, but he won the MVP after something, after injuries too. So you hear all these different things, man. So again, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm just like, it is what it is now, man. So shit, I would love to get Fields, but here we are. There you go.
Yeah. Understood. But my whole thing
gonna be
was
happy,
if you were going to go with the low risk thing, don't get cheap old Russell. If that's what you were going to do, don't overpay for this guy. And get in a scenario where, man, just ask the fans in Washington. Ask the fans in Minnesota. Like, there's a reason
what you wish for.
Why, there's a reason why my exes will say what they'll say about me. There's a reason why some of y'all's exes will say what they'll say about you. You know what you did, and we know what Kirk's done.
I love it. We're going to end on that note, too. So, good stuff. I just wanted to get your thoughts, man. I know you've been pretty adamant in the chat. Talk about Joey Votto. That's hilarious. We may have to add you to our chat, too, man. So, I think I'll look about doing that, man, because we be going off during the week, man. So, again, we appreciate your insight. Today is Gary's birthday, by the way. So, if you want to put that on your calendar moving forward, he wasn't able to join the show. But
happy birthday.
March 13th. Yeah, he turned 64, man. So, again, he's probably drinking some wine and enjoying his time off too, man. So, again, shout out to Gary. Hope you had fun. We didn't have a lot of Cowboys talk in your honor, Gary. But, again, there's no L.A. hate or anything like that, man. So, it's all good. Oh, man. That was funny, JQ. The meme, what is it, the Cowboys, I believe, Jerry Jones. That was hilarious.
Yeah. That's you guys.
Oh, man. Internet has no heart.
Those Cowboy fans were so mad online when the AJ Dillon rumor came out. They said AJ F and Dillon. That's what you.
Yeah.
Not good. All right, gentlemen. Have a great evening. We'll see you at the same time, same channel next week. Be good, gentlemen.
All right, gentlemen.
Peace.
Peace.